time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you for joining me. Lovely day in Central PA. If you'd like to join me on the phone lines, 946-0435, 946-0435 for years and years and years on this Wednesday, typically on the Wednesday. Occasionally we've had to do it on Thursday, but typically on this Wednesday we've done NCAA tournament preview shows, looking over the brackets, really the next 2 days, the best 2 days of the sports year for a lot of people. I know for me that's the case. I love the first couple days of the NCAA tournament more than the Super Bowl or World Series or NBA Finals or Olympics or World Cup or any of that stuff. So if you want to join us, you got any questions about your bracket, any questions about games, Rob Spahn from Bedford will join me here in a few minutes, and we'll get his insights as we do every year on these shows. Rob's got all his bracket information. I didn't watch as much college basketball this season as years past, so I'll rely a little bit more on Rob. But I've got my Final Four. It's crazy. My Final Four is nutso. It's bonkers. I'll explain why in a little bit. 946-0435. I do want to start by talking about last night's St. Francis game in the NCAA tournament. Just a tremendous college basketball game. Incredibly exciting, entertaining, right down to the wire, an instant classic, but for the wrong reasons if you're a St. Francis fan. One of those endings that will kind of haunt you. So, see, here's the thing. There's a couple different stories here, and this is the way things work when you get in scenarios like this where a team overachieves and pulls off something tremendous and historic and all of those things, because there's one story where St. Francis had an incredible run, only the second NCAA tournament appearance ever, first one in 34 years since Mike Isolino and Joe Anderson back in 91. That was such a memorable team. This one came out of nowhere. Six-game winning streak to close the regular season in Northeast Conference Tournament. Rob Krimmel did just a tremendous job with this group. That part of the story is the history. That part is what will forever be remembered as an amazing accomplishment by the St. Francis men's basketball program. Then you get to the game last night. And the game was a tremendous story in and of itself until the end. So when as I break this down, do not forget that the overarching tremendous story here is just getting to the NCAA tournament, putting on a great show for national television audience last night, fantastic finish, and all of the historic achievements. The game, St. Francis played very well for a good bit of it. Led by 9 points in the first half, was playing well, led most of the game, led for a good 20-minute stretch, 25-minute stretch or whatever, till Alabama State took the lead with about 5 minutes to go. Hadn't led since 15 minutes to go in the first half. So that's about a 30-minute stretch as St. Francis led the game. And it looked like, as you're watching, hey, they're going to be able to pull this out. They're going to be able to pull this out. Alabama State upped their defense. St. Francis had a lot of turnovers, which were really costly. But it was right there, man. St. Francis hits a clutch three to tie the game at 68. Then there's a foul and Alabama State goes to the free throw line and misses the front end of a 1-1. And that's where we've got another story. Okay, so just everybody remember, in the grand scheme of things, I've spent almost 4 days talking about how great of a story it was that St. Francis got here. And that will always be the case. So I'm going to spend 10 minutes on how they lost the game, because it's worth discussing. And this is what we do on the show. We break things down at a very, very detailed level. So Alabama State misses the front end of a 1-1 with exactly how many seconds? Missed the front end of the 1-1 with 12 seconds to go. We spent a tremendous amount of time last week on how Rob Krimmel does not call a timeout in those game situations. So again, I'm going to reiterate this one more time, because I'm going to be kind of critical here, but I want everybody to understand this is coming from the place of how difficult it is in these very, very tight situations. I spent a lot of time last week telling you that I cover St. Francis basketball for 20 years, and in all the years that I covered Rob as a head coach, he pretty much never called timeout in those situations, okay? I can explain this to you because I saw it far more than any of you firsthand. I saw how Rob trusted his players to make a play. And the strategic basketball advantage is you go ahead and move the ball up the court while the defense is still trying to get set, and sometimes you can catch the defense when they're not fully set. If you call a timeout, they get time to sub in. They can get their players. They can set up whatever defense they want to. And in the Northeast Conference tournament, with the game tied, St. Francis did not call a timeout. Central Connecticut tied the game with, like, 17 seconds to go. St. Francis, Rob Krimmel did not call a timeout. They came down the court. Damar Kelly hit a shot with 9 seconds left. And by not calling a timeout, St. Francis had a good offensive opportunity, scored, and went to the NCAA tournament. And I praised Rob Krimmel about that significantly yesterday, or last week. And we had Rob on the show. And I asked him to explain, why do you not call timeouts in these situations? And he gave a very eloquent answer. His answer was education, teaching kids to do what they need to do. He said, I wouldn't be a very good coach if we got in those situations and the kids didn't know what to do. His answer was spectacular. And in the Northeast Conference tournament, not calling a timeout led to one of the biggest baskets in the history of St. Francis basketball. Last night, when Alabama State missed the front end of a 1-1 with 12 seconds to go, St. Francis got the rebound, and Rob Krimmel chose not to call a timeout. And it was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake initially. Here's what I want to really dive into, because this stuff is fascinating to me. We all want to be armchair quarterbacks and second-guess coaches and all these things. I explained repeatedly over the last week how I love that Rob doesn't call a timeout. I do believe strongly in trying to catch the defense before it gets set and trusting your guys. I do believe in that. But a couple of times over the last week, I did throw out this scenario just in quick discussion. I'd say, unless the possession goes awry, or unless you see that the possession is breaking down. And that's what happened to St. Francis last night. And it's unfortunate, because what happened was Alabama State had been exerting excellent defensive pressure throughout the second half to get back in that game and outscored St. Francis in the second half by, what, thinking 9 points in the second half. Okay, so with 12 seconds to go, St. Francis's Valentino Pinedo got the rebound. And it was clear from the first second or so at that point that that possession was not going well. Okay? So what I'm trying to explain to you is you can have a way of doing things that you always stick to your guns, but the great irony is in not seeing how things were playing out in the handful of seconds right in front of him, all of the experience that Rob Krimmel has in not calling timeouts probably backfired on him then, because he trusted his guys too much in that situation. And it's tough. I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite when I praised Rob Krimmel for his game coaching and understanding of clock situations, and I praised him over the last week for not calling timeouts, because 90% of coaches probably do call timeouts. And quite frankly, if you look on social media, Rob Krimmel has gotten destroyed by college basketball fans. Just absolutely. You know how people are on Twitter. They get loose and you know, all kinds of messages on there about that St. Francis coach should be fired. That's why he's coaching in a 16 seed. That's why he lost. What kind of idiot is that guy? I mean, he's getting hammered. And the irony is, not calling a timeout in the Northeast Conference tournament got St. Francis to the NCAA tournament. But not calling a timeout in the NCAA tournament is what led to St. Francis losing and going home. And it's cruel. Sports are cruel like that. And it's hard to find the right answer. But what happened was St. Francis' big guy, Valentino Pinedo, he gets the rebound 10 seconds to go. And he kind of, there was uncertainty there. You could see he was kind of uncertain. The guards didn't just come to him and help him immediately to take the ball up the court. Valentino Pinedo's 6'8". He handles the ball pretty well, but he's not the guy against a bunch of quick guards who are playing tremendous defense on you. He's not the guy you want dribbling the ball up the court with 10 seconds to go trying to win the game in an NCAA tournament game. But he's coming up the court. Things got loosey-goosey. Things, the possession was just not going well. They almost turned it over at half court. And at that point, Rob Krimmel made a mistake. He should have called timeout. So what's the difference that I'm talking about here? Last week in the NEC tournament, he did call timeout, and I praised him profusely. Well, that possession was going well. You got what you wanted. You got the ball in the hands of the people that you wanted, the ball. Central Connecticut State was running back on defense. They weren't quite set, and St. Francis gets a really good look to win the game. Last night was the complete opposite. Last night, Alabama State's defense was kind of in control of that possession, and St. Francis's offense was kind of going all off kilter there. So the ball was getting loosey-goosey. And at that point, all these years of not calling timeout, it bit Rob Krimmel, because he should have recognized that the play was not going in his team's way, and he should have called a timeout to settle everything down. Now, would they have won the game in regulation? Maybe not. They might have missed a shot. But what happened is they end up turning the ball over, and then you all saw what happened. Just a miracle play. Alabama State throws a full court baseball pass. There's 3 seconds to go. They're taking the ball out on their own end. Their coach draws up a phenomenal play. He throws an 80-foot pass into the middle of the lane. It tips off two guys, Hail Mary kind of thing, right to the Alabama State dude who hits a layup. And the game should never have come to that point. You call timeout when Rob Krimmel sees that the possession is not going well. You call timeout, you set up a last shot, you at least go to overtime. Instead, you turn the ball over with 3 seconds to go. They throw a tremendous play and score. And then, this can't go unsaid, with a second to go. There's exactly one second to go, and St. Francis did have a timeout then, and they had to go the full length of the court. So their chances of winning that game were very, 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 very slim and none anyway. But what do they do? Really poor. Really poor execution. You'd just seen Alabama State pull off a miracle, throwing an 85-foot pass, and it leads to a layup. St. Francis inbounded 10, 12 feet into the backcourt and had to settle for a 70-foot shot. I can't believe there's no coach in the world that would be the play call. First of all, the St. Francis kid, he could have run the baseline, and he didn't. He just stood there. So something was just bizarre and off, and I know they're all stunned, and these are kids, and everybody is, you know, very flummoxed and everything. But for as amazing of a run as St. Francis had in the final six games to get to that point, the last 12 seconds of their season was pretty humiliating, quite honestly. It's a shame that it went that way, that it ended in a situation like that. You've at least got to chuck the ball down to the other side, 60 feet, get it to, and give yourself a chance at a 30 or 40 foot 3-point shot, maybe. Instead of, I don't know if the guy panicked, or he saw that the play wasn't working, but he inbounds and they take a 70 foot shot, and that wasn't going to go in. So, all right, 946-0435. We will take your calls, and we're going to talk college basketball, NCAA tournament here with Rob and Bedford in a few minutes. Nebraska man, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Corey, how you doing? I'll tell you what, St. Francis last night for three-fourths of the game I thought Rob did a wonderful job coaching that team.
And that's the irony, Nebraska man. That's the irony I'm getting to. That team was so well prepared. St. Francis was so well prepared. Now, they did have 15 turnovers, and that was rough. But they were so well prepared for that game. And in a microcosm, this is what we do as sports fans. This is what coaches... In a microcosm of that situation, it's the irony is a coach who has never called timeout and he's succeeded with it a good bit. He's now getting ripped by college basketball fans because he should have called a timeout in that spot.
Yeah, well, the only thing that really got me, Corey, is I thought at the end of the game Alabama State called the timeout. They came back on the court. It looked to me like St. Francis was too loose down at the other end. Too loose down the other end of the court for that guy to throw that ball like that. Now, naturally, they got a break, a bounce, and went to the other gentleman's hand. But I think down there at the end, I think that St. Francis should have been like a little bit more prepared, you know, for that throw to come down there because they knew it was going to be going down there in the first place.
Yeah, you're talking about the Hail Mary throw.
Yes.
It's an amazing play. For the first game of the NCAA tournament to end on that kind of scenario, they talked about it at length. What a tremendous – and you never want to be on the losing end of an incredible finish like that. And again – 90% of this is the great story in the history of St. Francis getting there, but 10% of it is they still very much could have and maybe even should have won that game.
Yeah. All right, Corey, can I give you some teams here?
Yep, go ahead. What do you got?
Okay, my final eight, Auburn, Michigan State, Florida, St. John's, Duke, Alabama, Houston, Tennessee. My final four is Michigan State, Florida, Duke and Houston. Championship game, I got Florida and Duke. In a national championship, I have Florida to win it all.
All right, good stuff. I like it. We'll see what Cooper Flagg can do for Duke after his injury. That's not a bad pick, but you got Florida winning it all, right?
Florida to win it all, yeah.
All right, good stuff, buddy. Appreciate it, Nebraska man. We'll take one more, then we'll take a break. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Corey, it's me.
All right, it's Rob. I'm going to take a break here. We're going to get into our bracket breakdown in just a second. Hang on with me, bud. We'll take a break. I'll give you my kooky, crazy Final Four. And if you got any questions about any of the games or matchups, we will discuss. And you can, again, give us a call the rest of the show, 946-0435.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Howdy, the old farmer here, you know, from the Almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family and McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting, whatever you need, the Kubota BX series can handle. The Kubota BX series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
Things are just better when you switch to Cricket. The sun shines a little brighter. Happy music starts randomly playing. Best of all, you can get iPhone 13 for just $29.99 with the ultra-bright Super Retina display and up to 19 hours of video playback, all on Cricut's super-fast 5G network. See? Isn't that better? Smile, you're on Cricut.
Requires new account and port in on $60 plan. First service charge and tax due with sale. $25 activation fee, terms and restrictions apply. Cricut 5G is not available everywhere. See store for details.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
All right, welcome back. Breaking down the bracket. We've done this for a lot of years. My good buddy Rob Spahn from Bedford couldn't make it in studio today. We got him on the phone line here for the next 35 minutes or so. What's happening today, pal?
Hey, Corey, how's it going, man?
Exciting time of year, exciting time of year. I just want to ask you real quick, the end of that St. Francis game last night, you've heard me talking over the last week how Rob Krimmel never calls timeout, and that's how it's worked for them. You watch a lot of college basketball games, especially the last few seconds all over the country, Rob. What's your take on coaches if they should or should not call a timeout if they've got the ball in a tie game in the last 10, 15 seconds?
Well, in his case, you have all those years of experience and a formula that he's used kind of working against him.
Yeah.
You can't take a timeout home with you. He still has that timeout. So I would have taken it just because it's such a big moment. It's such a big moment for your program.
I would not have taken it if things were going well. But it was right. It was immediately clear on the rebound. The wrong guy had the ball. They were doing the wrong thing getting to half court. It was already frenetic. And look, you've got 2-3 seconds to make that decision. You've got 13 years telling you not to call a timeout, but you've got 2-3 seconds there that you've got to see that this just isn't going well.
And I believe that was when the turnover happened, where the guy just lost it going in the lane. That was the same guy that missed that wide open layup to start the game, and that's just unfortunate to see it go full circle like that.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the bracket. I'll let Rob share his Final Four first because mine's crazy. But we'll go Final Four first. And then we'll take a look at some games and some teams that you really need to look out for. But who do you have in your Final Four?
Well, I literally am changing it in real time just minutes ago. I had a pretty crazy Final Four as well, but cooler heads prevailed, I guess. I tried to remove my own bias, but and that would have been in the East region to start. I had Oregon coming out of the East. But with Cooper Flagg cleared and looking like he's going to be okay, and just as much talent as that Duke team has. Now, Malik Brown's health is a question mark, and if he's back, I'm more convinced, but I'm not sure that he's going to play or not. So I am going to go with Duke out of the East. Down in the Midwest, I have Houston coming out. In the South, I got Auburn, so chalk so far, but I have it Texas Tech as the 3 seed coming out of the Western, which Florida is representing, oddly enough, coming out of the West.
All right. My Final Four is redonkulous. I got Auburn. I got Florida. I got Alabama. I got Tennessee. I got all 4 teams from the same conference. I'm buying into the hype a little bit of the SEC. 14 teams, I don't know. I'm fine with Texas getting in. And we saw Carolina, once they got in, you knew they'd be pissed. They're from the ACC. But once they got in, it wasn't surprising at all last night they took that out. But I think this is the worst college basketball national scene, S-C-E-N-E. That I have ever seen, S-E-E-N. I think college basketball is so unbelievably watered down. And so my justification is these SEC teams, and this is kind of where I've always gone with football, and that's kind of blown up over the last year or two, but these SEC teams have been facing phenomenal competition every night. Texas, Oklahoma, the back end, Arkansas, the back end of the SEC is loaded. I think the ACC is hot manure. I think Duke is really good. I think that conference is garbage. I don't think Duke has played that level of competition night in and night out like an Auburn, Florida. So anyway, it's never going to happen. It's only been, I think, one time ever. The Big East in 85 had 3 of the 4 Final Four teams. I got all 4 from the SEC, so tell me that I'm crazy.
Well, not crazy, but one of my biggest pet peeves has always been when someone says, you know, I seen the other day, because you're talking about seen. No, you saw. It's you have seen.
Correct.
So just clearing up the scene, except you're talking about S-C-E-N-E. So
yes,
I
correct.
Guess that doesn't really matter. But, no, with the SEC, you take like a Texas, you go before February or even mid-January, that team was rolling.
Texas can beat any team in this tournament. And they were basically the next-to-last team that got in. That's what I'm telling you about the SEC.
Right.
Texas was the 67th team to get in. On any given night, they could beat any team in this field, including Duke, including Auburn, Alabama, Florida, whatever.
Which goes in line with what I'm saying. They were so good, and then they fell apart. but they got their mojo back a little. It's just it's a bloodbath in the SEC. That's why 14 teams, I believe that's a record for most bids ever received from one conference. So I don't think you're crazy at all. That's you could kind of shake a magic eight ball with SEC teams, and unless it's – well, I mean, Texas was the last team in, and sure, I don't think anyone's going to pick them to win it all, but I think it would be very plausible for them to make it to the second weekend if they get out against Sean Miller and Xavier tonight. But, yeah, the SEC is tough. ACC, absolute dog manure, as you said, what, four bids? It wasn't that long ago that, you know, North Carolina is the last team in. That's crazy in itself. And last night was all about R.J. Davis. And like you said, they were going to take it out on the Aztecs. But, no, I don't think your Final Four is one bit crazy.
All right. So my national champion, we've already seen two tremendous games between Alabama and Auburn. And I really wanted to pick Alabama. But I got Auburn winning the whole thing. Who do you have winning it?
The whole thing? I just feel like, you know, Kelvin Sampson, five years he's had in a Final Four, an Elite Eight, and those three Sweet 16s, most people would love to have that, but it felt like shortcomings those years with some of those Houston squads. And I just feel with the way they're playing defense, it's probably their best offensive team out of Sampson's time there, but defensively they're a juggernaut. LJ Cryer, from his time in Baylor, I think he's got about 150 games, and he's shooting 42% for career for 3-point. He is dialed in. I don't know. What do you think in the opening round as a better chance?
Hang on. We'll get to that in just 1 sec. I want to finish the champions first, then we'll go back and backtrack from the beginning, because I do really like Houston. Houston yeah. has been really good for a number of years, which is good to see, because when I was growing up, you know, with Phi Slamma Jamma, it's good to see what they've done coming back. I've got Houston losing to Tennessee in the Elite Eight, but certainly mm-hmm. Houston could win that. I've got Duke losing to Alabama for the reason I mentioned earlier. I just don't think Duke has seen enough great competition night in and night out. So, so I take it you've got Houston winning the whole thing.
I do. I just feel like it's your year. Like I said, I've watched him a fair amount. I was very. I had to. Sometimes I go into the conference tournaments with a pick, and then it changes because that week is very influential when you're, you know, making your picks and trying to figure out who you're going to roll with. But I liked them then, and I liked them after the fact, and that doesn't happen a ton. So, yeah, I love Houston this year.
All right. If you want to share your Final Four or take a look at any first, second-round games, 946-0435, you were going to ask about a specific first-round game, if you remember which one that was.
I was just going to ask you, jump all over that -29.5 that Houston's laying. Do you think there's a better chance that Houston scores 100-plus in that game, or a better chance that SIU Edwards scores under 45? Because I think both have a significant chance.
Yeah, that's going to be a slaughter. Sometimes teams will rest their guys for like 10 or 12 minutes of the second half. And you know that's your guy's one chance, because they're going to play Gonzaga or Georgia. I mean, Georgia can beat Gonzaga, but that sometimes a huge number like that scares me a tad, just because you could be up by 40, and then Kelvin Sampson decides to put all his walk-ons in, and SIU scores 11 points in a row on a few threes or whatever. So that's why sometimes, you know, in a tournament scenario, you never know how long they're going to go with starters or even key rotation guys.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's on the flip side where, you know, a game seems like it's kind of tight, and then it just gets messy down the stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would caution at that as well. But I don't know if Juwan Roberts, I think he's going to be back for Houston too, but that's a question mark they have. But they're just a deep team all around.
All right. I think it's absurd that Louisville is an 8 seed. I think Louisville could get to the Final Four under certain brackets. Instead, they'll get Auburn in the second round, for God's sake. But Creighton's a good team. They could give me one or two matchups in the first round that you look at. I'll start with North Carolina, Ole Miss. I think North Carolina is going to come out and beat the piss out of Ole Miss because North Carolina, you play in that first four game, you got the world laughing at you for 3 or 4 days. These are elite recruits and everything. They're at North Carolina. Now, whether or not they won any quad one games during the regular season, they won one, but you get made fun of for 3 or 4 days, that lights a fire under you. So I think North Carolina could, and then they would get Iowa State maybe in the second round, and I could see North Carolina winning that. I mean, that's the kind of team that they could defy belief based on, you know, what happened to them this week.
Very proud program. I think from 75 to 09, they missed two tournaments, and they were one selection away from missing two of the last 3 years, which would have been absolutely nuts. But you talk about these early matchups that are intriguing, and all four of the 8-9s, and they generally are, but the one you mentioned first, it's hard not to, you know, really hone in on that one with who did you say?
Louisville and Creighton. Louisville, Creighton. Yes. Creighton's good.
Creighton is extremely good. What they did to UConn in the postseason, you know, Ryan Cockbrenner's amazing. 4 years in a row, I think, went into Big East Defensive Player of the Year, just a true powerhouse in the paint. But Louisville, now you make a great point. They went from, I think, 7-27 last year.
Yeah, awful.
Gross. To firing their coach and basically flip their record around, only lost, what was it, 3 conference games. Now, yeah, those are all negatives, like you said, about positioning them. We're going to get Auburn in the second round if they come out of that. However, they're playing it in, I think, Lexington, which is basically a home game for them, which on the flip side is kind of sticking it to Auburn for being the top seed overall. I know that they stumbled down the stretch, but they're still considered the top seed. That's a rude greeting for the tournament.
Yeah, there's another 8-9 with Oklahoma and UConn. UConn has been so phenomenal in the NCAA tournament, winning the last two. Last year, they covered the spread in all 6 games. This is a very different UConn team. They've really, really struggled all year. I'm actually picking Oklahoma there. That's a little bit of a dark horse. I mean, it's an 8-9 game. UConn, I mean, Dan Hurley's got so much experience, but I just don't think this is a real solid team.
I went with you, Oklahoma, for the exact same reason that you just described. And it's not a knock at UConn. You'd call it a bad match. It's a little bit of a down year. They really weren't consistent for much of the season. They were kind of win one, lose one. But, yeah. And the other 8-9, you know, Baylor, Mississippi State, again, it's not going to matter much because the winner plays Duke. Not that it's impossible to beat them, but I don't think either one. I have Baylor in that game as well. You know, you have a good storyline with Jeremy Roach transferred from Duke to Baylor if they would meet in the second round. You know, that'd be pretty cool.
All right. 5, 6, 7 seeds. Any of those games you take a look at and think, okay, if you're going to pick a 11, 12, 13 seed, who is one that you would kind of throw out there? One for me that I was looking at really, really closely. I didn't pull the trigger on this. Maryland and Grand Canyon. That's a 4-13 game. Again, I think the Big Ten was really weak this year. So I could see Grand Canyon winning that. I ended up picking Maryland. But any 5, 6, 7 seeds that you look at and you think they could be in trouble right off the bat?
I took a long look at that game, but I just think Maryland will be too much for them. Stay with me here on this one. Do you remember when Saquon Barkley rushed for 210 yards? I think it was like January 15th or something.
Yeah.
That was the last time San Diego lost a basketball game.
Is that right?
That team is cooking. I mean, cooking right now. They're a sexy pick. They're new to this, I think, to Division One, but yeah, they just really like to spread the ball around. They like to run. Michigan's kind of the opposite. They muck it up. They slow it down. They lost 3 in a row before they caught some fire in the Big Ten tournament. So I take a look at that game, and I could see San Diego keeping this rolling. And you know, with the matchup, if they win that game, I look at the one below at the 4-13 with Yale and A&M. Yale beat Auburn last year, for God's sake, in the tournament. Yeah. Buzz Williams has been known to not always have his guys ready in the tournament. They every year, and this year is no different. I think they're collecting something like 45% of their missed shots. That's amazing, but they shoot terrible. You can't just keep banking on that formula working when you can't knock anything down. So I think we could see San Diego in the second weekend, or the, next weekend, but they got a lot of work to do, obviously, before that.
Give me one high seed, and I'm talking top three or four seeds that you look at and think, and Texas A&M could be a really good one here. But give me a top four seed that you look at and think, I don't really buy them, that you could see them having some trouble.
Immediately my eyes go to Purdue. Braden Smith's a good player. He can't do it all alone. He really stuffs the stat sheets, but Zach Edey's not coming through that door. Painter's had his share of postseason letdowns. So I think Purdue's overseeded a bit. And who are they going against?
They've got High Point. So.
Yeah, High Point scores with anyone, but they're also terrible defensively. But Purdue's terrible defensively, so I think High Point's a sexy pick for that upset.
In a 5-12 game, Clemson has McNeese. That's Will Wade. He may end up leaving to go to NC State. There's news on that.
Yeah, he's out of there.
He's a tremendous coach. He was at LSU. He got embroiled in a lot of controversy, but I could see McNeese beating Clemson. But that's a five. Take a look at some of these other ones. I don't know that I really take a look at a top three or four, and I'm really scared of them. You've got Texas Tech in the Final Four. I like them, and they've won me a lot of money in years past in the NCAA tournament, so it's hard for me to go against Texas Tech. But I guess Iowa State is one that kind of jumps out to me. They're a little all over the place. If North Carolina beats Ole Miss in the next round, they would be looking at Iowa State in the Sweet 16. So that could be a very, very interesting matchup to me.
I have Iowa State winning that game, but yeah, I could definitely see North Carolina. Iowa State was 15-1 at one time. I mean, they were beating the hell out of people,
yep.
And then they had several injuries. They lost Keyshawn Gilbert. He's a huge part of that team, and he's not going to be back this postseason. So I had to back them off a little bit. I might have had them beating Auburn, but instead I don't, because they don't have a replacement for Gilbert. They have a good team, but. They've been 500 since they've been 15-1. So that's something that you can't ignore when you're filling out your bracket.
Okay. I didn't do this. I know this is going to make Rob's blood boil. I didn't do this on purpose because we've had some arguments about this over the years. This is not your typical Kansas team.
No.
I was looking for like a 10-7. And I kind of did a coin flip with Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas is all that good either, but Kansas is all over the place. Give me a reason to pick. Look, whoever it is probably going to lose to St. John's in the next round anyway. But give me a reason to pick Kansas. What? I know Bill Self has been here, but that team in particular, this is a very, very, very unusual Kansas team.
I'd give you the reason with Arkansas, is Calipari, obviously.
Yes.
And with Kansas, Bill Self, but they're a hard one to figure out. I follow Kansas closely. They started the year exceptionally well. They have multiple starters from their 2022 team still on their roster in DeJuan Harris Jr. and KJ Adams. They bring in Hunter Dickinson from Michigan. That's a phenomenal addition, and he's played well, but for some reason this team is not gelled. They have AJ Starr. The talent is there, but I feel like they're demoralized, they're defeated, they're deflated. They're not used to being a seven seed, for God's sake, and that might have been generous. I don't know. They've been frustrating. No consistency. They have the talent to catch fire. They're good enough to knock off St. John's. I think they do beat St. John's. I see them running out of gas. It's going to be hard to put six wins together when they've been such a disappointment. And I agree with you. Anything negative you have to say about Kansas, you're right about.
It's just very – I mean, Dickinson's been in college for 12 years, and it's like, it's weird because they were the number one team in the country alone. They were playing really well, and then something happened. They just couldn't win games anymore.
I can't put my finger on it. Like I said, they were not riddled with injuries – They do have the talent. They have the coach. The conference probably got easier with the shakeup. I don't know. So I'm not confident in them at all. I mean, I think they can win a couple games, but not all of it.
We're going to step away for a break, wrap things up with our tournament preview here in just a second.
Kyle Busch has not won a race since 2023. Gateway, in fact. It's over 60 races ago. And this is a guy who could win on any given weekend during his prime. So how does Kyle deal with the emotions of that? And when is he going to get back to victory lane?
When I was winning a lot, you were doing it quite often. You were in position quite often. And so you could harness those emotions and those feelings and to be able to go out there and just do your job and kind of let it come to you. Kansas last fall, I felt rushed. I felt hurried. I felt like I needed to get through the traffic as fast as I could. And I put myself in a bad spot and we hit the wall and lost the race. So, you know, those things are certainly on your mind as you come to them, especially with as close as the competition is today. It's rare that you see, I guess, unless you're tiny Kyle, it's rare that you see, you know, 3 second gaps to the next guy behind you. You know, you're always kind of fighting within that 1 second gap that you have to a guy behind you. So they're, you know, you can lose a half a second in one lap if you get the wrong lane through a corner and you get in somebody else's wake. So, you know, you don't have much room to breathe.
Well, it didn't happen this past weekend at Las Vegas, his home racetrack, where he had a dismal day, finishing 33rd. This is the final lap.
Progressive knows when you own a boat or RV, it's like you're automatically on vacation, even if you're actually a marriage counselor in the middle of couples therapy. But in your mind, you're camping in Acadia, puttering around Frenchman Bay. Your boat and RV are both protected, your lobster drenched in butter and... Uh-oh, did your clients just notice you weren't listening? Quick, do the thing where you just repeat back exactly what they said but as a question. They bought it. Now back to Maine, earning an automatic discount bundling your boat or RV with your home or auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
All right, going over the NCAA tournament bracket. The fun starts tomorrow. You want to join us with any questions, 946-0435. Rob from Bedford joins me as he does every year to break the bracket down. The NCAA tournament has changed, you know, with all the transfer portal and NIL money and everything. There's a lot more parity in college basketball now. Do you think college basketball as a whole and the tournament as a whole are better or worse than they used to be?
That's a great question, because I think it depends on kind of how, what kind of fan, you know, what you look for, what you enjoy, because it was hard enough growing up to be able to track rosters. You know, you had 4 years maximum of a guy on a team. Now you have a guy play 3-4 teams in 6 years. I mean, it's insane. Like you said, there's guys, it feels like it's been a decade that they've been on or in college basketball. But Maybe not as good because there's no juggernaut. And you're right. This is a goofy field. There's no one that you could pick that you're going to die on the hill for. I mean, someone's going to win it all. Someone's going to go 6-0. But it's gone are the days, you know, like UNLV, their early 90s Duke. You know what I mean? Some of these teams that were the Fab Five of Michigan, the Five Slamma Jamma, like these were teams that didn't lose. But I don't know. It's fun. It's nice that guys used to have to sit a year, you know, it kind of discouraged them. But now you can just laterally move from one school to another, collect a couple million in the process and not miss, you know, dessert.
There's still a lot of the same names, Michigan State, Duke, Carolina, UConn, Kansas. A lot of the same names are in the field. Oregon, Arizona, Gonzaga, Wisconsin. These are the teams that have been in the field forever. So there's a lot of that, but we might recognize the team names. But college sports for me in general, and especially with basketball, have become extremely frustrating because you don't recognize the guys, the players, the guys who are there for 3 and 4 years. You just don't see that in college basketball. And in football, everybody's a helmet. You're just a number. College basketball, you see the faces. You kind of feel like a little bit of more of a personal level with players. And they're coming and going. You might love a guy 1 year for your team, and then he's on another team the next year. It's really been troubling for me as a big college basketball fan for about 2 years now.
I just talking to my wife last night about, you know, transfer portal. I was explaining a little bit of it to her and the name, image, likeness. And I said to her, I'm like, you know, with athletes being paid, they are adults, even though they're called kids by everybody. These are adults getting some pay. I don't know what happened to like helping you through college. Like instead we just go right to the top. Here's a couple million. How much did Sean Clifford make? Not nothing against him, but he wasn't anything special. He probably made several million dollars in his time at Penn State. I mean, it's buffoonery. It's monopoly money. I can't relate to it, but it is a system in place, and you bet I'd take advantage of it if I was them as well.
All right. We do have a call here before we go. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hey, you're with me if you can hear me.
Can you hear me?
Let's try. There we go. There we go. We got you. Go ahead. What's up?
Hey, quick question. Do you know who takes care of the ball the best? I mean, who has the best guards in the tourney?
I would say Alabama and Auburn would be my guess. Rob, you have a better answer than that?
Yeah, what's his name? Johnny from Auburn. Johnny Texas man, Johnny Doom or Johnny Dome. He's super good. Walter Clayton Jr. from Florida. We got moved to the point guard position in the offseason.
I love Florida. I love Florida. Do you have Florida in the national championship game, or where'd you have Florida? Rob.
Caller. Oh, me. I have them losing to Texas Tech, but obviously I could see them winning that game.
Yeah, I could see Florida winning that game. My three best teams are Auburn, Florida, Alabama. But I mean, Florida is every time I've watched them play, they've impressed me a lot.
Florida.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Go ahead, Rob.
I was just gonna say with Bama, they can score at will, but my God, is their defense bad? I mean, it's seriously bad. But they might be able to overcome that. They have the scores. You're right.
All right, good stuff. Appreciate the time as always every year, man. We'll catch up with you over the next couple weeks as we get into the tournament.
Oh yeah, we'll be talking plenty over the next couple weeks. Thanks a million, man.
Thanks, brother.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
bread and rolls, Pacificos. Pacificos. Bread and rolls, Pacificos. Bread and rolls, Pacificos.
It's March, and T&L Moore Enterprises, owners of Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, has some deals for you with their St. Patrick's Day special. Get lube, oil and filter service, inspection of all belts and hoses, tire air pressure set, rotation of all four tires, brakes inspection, and battery condition inspection, all for only $59.99. Talk about luck of the Irish. By the way, did you happen to hit a pothole today?
You did?
Then take advantage of T&L Moore's pothole inspection. It includes a complete digital inspection, wheel alignment check, and tire condition analysis. Right now, get $20 off any service or repair resulting from your free pothole inspection. Take advantage of these lucky deals at Russell Tire in Altoona and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales in Claysburg. Both the St. Patrick's Day special and the pothole inspection expire on March 31st. T&L Moore Enterprises wants to help you stay safe this spring. Visit Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, or Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg.
Hi, it's me, your USPS Ground Advantage shipment. Just left the warehouse and hitting the road.
I know, just got the notification.
Great, smooth sailing so far. I'm almost there.
Yes, I know. I get all the updates.
Made it, safe and sound.
I know.
Well, did you know I was with USPS the whole time?
Oh yeah, I know.
Keep your business in the know with the USPS Ground Advantage service. Visit usps.com/in the know.
At Skechers, we put the S in comfort.
Wait. Skechers put the S in comfort?
Yes. Comfort you have to feel to believe. Skechers, we put the S in comfort.
Let me try. Okay, I'm just stepping in and... Oh, wow. Skechers put the S in comfort.
Duh, we told you.
Find Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Hank FM.
All right, our show brought to you today and every day by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. As Nathan said yesterday, stop by J.M. Boswell's, get you some cigars for the NCAA tournament. You can sit back in your living room, enjoy your cigars, pipes, tobacco blends, whatever else you got. Always enjoy our NCAA tournament preview show. And we will talk a lot of college basketball over the next couple days. Nathan will be in here hosting tomorrow. Give us a call tomorrow. He's in charge. He gets to pick the topics. Call in and humor the young man. Enjoy your evening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1.